Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Slim Duncan was one of Waka Flocka's day one homies, and it looked like he was about to be the next rapper from Brick Squad to blow up. But before he could take his career to the next level, he was shot and killed at the studio after he got into an argument over a piece of candy. This is the sad story of Waka Flocka's right-hand man, Slim Duncan. Slim Duncan was born in Detroit, but later moved to Atlanta. That's where he linked up with Waka Flocka, who was born in New York, but moved to Atlanta when he was 9 years old. They were super close, and Slim Duncan even was with Waka Flocka when he wrote his breakout hit, Oh Let's Do It. On the song, Waka Flocka raps, I fucked my money up, damn, now I can't re-up. Ran off in this spot just to get my stacks up. Now I'm back on deck, so shawty, what the fuck you want? According to Slim Duncan, he hated the song at first because Waka was talking about a real situation. Waka and Slim were all involved in a drug deal and something went wrong. They ended up losing all the money they put in and didn't have the funds to re-up. When Waka started rapping about it, Slim Duncan was pissed. Slim thought they should be figuring out how to get their money back, not making music. But later on, Slim admitted that Waka must have seen something he didn't because he made way more money off that song than they lost. Oh Let's Do It was on Waka's first mixtape, Salute Me or Shoot Me. It was Waka Flocka's first big single and was later remixed by Diddy, Rick Ross, and Gucci Mane. The success of the song also helped Waka sign a deal with Gucci Mane's 1017 Records in November 2009. Slim Duncan never had dreams of becoming a rapper, but once he saw his close homie blow up and take over the rap game, he decided to hop in the booth. Slim Duncan started dropping back-to-back mixtapes like Twin Towers, Built for Interrogation, and Duncan the Competition. He was already Waka's right-hand man and a member of Brick Squad, so it didn't take long for Slim Duncan's rap career to start taking off. When Waka Flocka released his first album, Flockavelli, in 2010, Slim Duncan was featured on two tracks, Bang and Fuck the Club Up. Flockavelli was a major success and made it to number 6 on the Billboard chart, so that helped expose Slim Duncan to a massive new audience. In 2011, Slim Duncan teamed up with Waka for the mixtape, Twin Towers 2, No Fly Zone, and he also had a feature on a Gucci Mane and Waka Flocka collab album, Ferrari Boys. Fans loved Slim Duncan's raw energy, and he and Waka were the perfect duo. For his next mixtape, Block Illegal 2, Slim Duncan worked with another Atlanta rapper named Debo. Debo is now known as Derez Deshawn, but at the time, Derez was part of a group called Dirt Gang who were signed to Waka Flocka's label, Brick Squad Monopoly. Derez says that Slim Duncan was a major inspiration to him in his career and always motivated him to keep working. Slim Duncan was feeding the streets and dropping back-to-back mixtapes that were doing major numbers. But before Slim had a chance to reach his full potential, he was tragically murdered during a studio session. On December 16, 2011, Slim Duncan went to Zone 6 Studio in East Atlanta to record some new music. It seemed like a normal day, and Slim was getting ready to shoot a video for a song called Push Ups with Gucci Mane after he was finished, so people were coming in and out of the studio the whole time. But around 5:30 p.m., the vibe started to change. An argument broke out between Slim Duncan and someone in the studio. Witnesses said they heard someone say something about candy. The argument got physical, and Slim Duncan got punched in the face. They ended up getting separated, but the other dude pulled out his gun and shot Slim Duncan in the chest. Slim's friends rushed him to the hospital, but they didn't get there in time, and Slim Duncan was tragically pronounced dead at just 24 years old. His funeral was held at Barron Christian Church, and hundreds of people came out to pay their respects to Slim. Waka Flocka also mourned the loss on Twitter and said it felt like he just lost his right hand. Slim Duncan's death was a major loss for Brick Squad and the whole city of Atlanta. Slim had a lot of momentum in the rap game, and it seemed like he was only one big hit away from blowing up. So everyone wanted to find out who killed Slim Duncan and why. When the news first broke, there were a few different theories going around about who did it. Even though Slim Duncan was loved by a lot of people in Atlanta, he also had a lot of enemies. After Slim Duncan died, rumors started going around that it could have been related to a situation involving another rapper named Kibo Gotti. Kibo was an OG member of Brick Squad, and he and Slim Duncan were once close homies. Kibo appeared on Waka Flocka's debut album, Flockavelli, and even had a verse on one of the biggest singles, Grove Street Party. But after the song blew up, Kibo Gotti claims that Waka started acting fake and doing bad business. Kibo says he never made any money off Grove Street Party, even though it hit the Billboard charts and has millions of streams.
Everything I did, I never got paid for. Never. I never asked for any money. You get what I'm saying?
Kibo started dissing Waka Flocka and Mazay Entertainment, a music management company owned by Waka's mom, Deborah. Before Waka blew up, Deborah was already successful in the music industry. Deborah was Gucci Mane's manager, which is how Waka and Gucci first linked up and got close. Kibo Gotti said that he trusted Waka and Deborah and thought they would take care of him. But as soon as Waka blew up, they put him on the shelf. According to Kibo, it wasn't even about the money. He was more mad because his loyalty was taken for granted. Kibo also said that Waka and Gucci weren't really as rich as everyone thought they were, and that Waka's mom Deborah was the one making all the money. Waka responded by saying Kibo was just hating because he was broke, and it was obvious who had more money. So, Kibo kept taking shots at Waka in interviews and street DVDs. Kibo started saying that Waka was rapping about his life and stole his whole sound from Kibo. He got so serious that Kibo even confronted Waka during a charity event at a bowling alley in Atlanta. After they started arguing, Kibo punched Waka in the face and caused a huge fight in the middle of the bowling alley. Kibo Gotti also dropped a Brick Squad diss record called Line 'Em Up, where he continued to expose Waka. On the track, Kibo raps, "What's up, Waka? You was not a blood. I know you, nigga. You grew up with us. Remember that every time a nigga out on your head, you call me up? Y'all can ask his mama Deborah. I swear she knows what's up." So Kibo was claiming that Waka's not as tough as everyone thinks he is. The only reason Waka got respect in the hood was because he had Kibo behind him. Anytime Waka got into trouble, he had to call Kibo or his mom Deborah to help him out. Kibo didn't stop there and made fun of Waka for getting his chain snatched, rapping, "What type of nigga go and get his chain snatched? I'm an old man, you gonna get your chain back." Around that time, there was a rumor going around that Waka got his chain snatched while he was in Compton visiting his homie, YG Hootie. Photos were going around online of some LA goon flexing on Waka's Muppet chain and Slim Duncan's Gumby chain. Some fans on the internet thought that meant Flock and Slim got caught slipping in LA and their chain snatched. So Kibo was using the rumor to prove that why.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Waka wasn't as tough as people thought, but Waka wasn't the only one Kibo took a shot at. He also did Slim Duncan, rapping, "Where Chaz at? Where's Slim Duncan? Oh yeah, I knocked him out. Swole him up, call him Slim Punkin." After Kibo started dissing Waka, Slim Duncan decided to pull up on him. Slim came by himself, and as soon as they saw each other, they squared up and started fighting. Kibo's boys started running towards Slim, so he backed up and they ran to a park across the street. They both fell into the bushes and started wrestling on the grass. But then some dude who lived in the area came out and told him to stop fighting in front of his house. As they were trying to break it up, Kibo and Slim got back on their feet and started boxing. That's when Kibo landed a crazy right hook and knocked Slim on his back. Slim eventually got back up and kept fighting. But by that point, the dude who was trying to break up the fight had already called the cops. So Slim and Kibo stopped fighting and took off running in different directions. Even though he dissed him on Line 'Em Up, Kibo also said he had a lot of respect for Slim to pull up solo like that and handle business. According to Kibo, the only reason he had any issues with Slim was because he was still rocking with Waka Flocka. After Slim was killed, rumors started going around that Kibo may have been involved. The beef had already gotten violent multiple times, so it seemed like there was a good motive behind the rumors. But then, Kibo immediately came out and said he had nothing to do with the murder. Kibo said that Slim was still his brother, even if they had a disagreement. Brothers fight all the time, but at the end of the day, they're still family. Even after the fight, they were still close friends, and Kibo denied having anything to do with killing Slim Duncan. Police also cleared Kibo as a suspect early on in the investigation, so the rumors were proven wrong from the jump. But the scrap with Kibo Gotti wasn't the only time Slim Duncan went viral for fighting on camera. Slim also got into a fight in public with a dude from Young Jeezy's label, CTE. So there were also rumors that Slim's murder was related to the beef between Gucci Mane and Young Jeezy. Gucci and Jeezy first started beefing in 2005, after they worked together on the track So Icy. They were two of the most popular up-and-coming street rappers in Atlanta at the time, so they decided to work together on a record. So Icy was a big hit in Atlanta, but Gucci and Jeezy immediately started arguing over whose song it was. Jeezy wanted to put So Icy on his album, Let's Get It, Thug Motivation 101, but Gucci ended up putting it on his album, Trap House. So Icy went crazy and peaked at number 46 on the Billboard chart, and Jeezy claims that he was never even paid for his verse on the track. That started one of the most legendary beefs in rap history, and Gucci and Jeezy started going back and forth dissing each other any chance they could get. On May 10th, Gucci was in bed with a woman when four dudes broke into the house and started attacking him. Gucci grabbed his pistol and started letting off shots and hit one of them while the other three took off. The victim ended up dying, and Gucci buried him behind a nearby middle school and then found a new girl to end the night with. The goon who had gotten killed was found and identified as a Young Jeezy affiliate named Pookie Loke. Gucci was charged with Pookie Loke's murder, but he ended up beating the case after proving he acted in self-defense. And ever since then, Gucci has hated Jeezy for sending his crew to kill him all over a song. The beef led to countless diss tracks and threats on social media, so anyone who was affiliated with Gucci Mane and 1017 Brick Squad was automatically enemies with Jeezy and CTE. When Waka Flocka signed the Gucci 1017 label, he automatically got into his own beef with a dude from CTE named Slick Puller. Gucci and Waka were dissing CTE non-stop on mixtape after mixtape. Slick Puller had just gotten out of prison and didn't like the way they were talking about his crew. One day he ran into Waka at a store in Atlanta and allegedly gave him a black eye. According to another dude from CTE named Clem, Slick Puller went off on Waka as soon as he saw him. Waka tried to grab Slick and slam him to the ground but missed. Slick reversed it and ended up slamming Waka to the ground and got on top of him. Waka's security guard hit Slick Puller with his gun and it accidentally went off in the store. So everyone started screaming and running and they had to get out of there. But by that point, Waka already had a black eye. During an interview with The Breakfast Club, Waka later said that he never had any problems with Jeezy, but he does have an issue with Slick Puller.
No, I never had a problem with Jeezy.
Yeah, because everybody was saying you said F Jeezy at one point in the concert.
Nah, I said a guy he with named Slick Puller.
Gotcha.
Period. I don't like him. Period.
You and Slick Puller. I would not want to be in a store when they run into each other.
I don't like him. He's a coward.
Waka also said they did get into an altercation, but he was the one who smashed Slick Puller.
Because y'all had an altercation before, but...
Yeah, it smashed him too. Smashed him.
So even if Waka didn't have beef with Jeezy, he clearly had problems with other dudes from CTE, and it didn't take long for Brick Squad to get payback. At a 4th of July block party, Slim Duncan ran into a dude wearing a CTE shirt and knocked him out cold. The video quickly went viral and only added more fire to the beef. But according to Clem from CTE, the dude Slim Duncan knocked out wasn't even a real member of the crew. The dude in the video was just a promo guy who got paid to help market the event. Jeezy and the rest of CTE were cool with him, but he wasn't even a real street dude and didn't have anything to do with the beef. But Slim Duncan saw a dude repping CTE in public and went off on him. Slim Duncan knocked him out right in front of his kids, and the dude ended up having a seizure from the punch. So the promo guy probably had no idea what was going on or why he got attacked. After Slim was killed, there were rumors that it might have been related to that video and the beef with CTE. But all of the rumors were quickly shot down after police announced they arrested a suspect in the murder of Slim Duncan. The true motive was even more pointless than people thought. About a week after the murder, police announced that the main suspect in the murder was another local rapper named Young Vito. A few days later, police got a call from Young Vito's lawyer telling them Vito's about to turn himself in. Young Vito turned himself in the day after Christmas and was officially charged with Slim Duncan's murder along with weapons charges. During the trial, more details came out about what really happened to Slim Duncan that night at the studio. According to a witness testimony, the two rappers got into an argument after Slim Duncan took a piece of candy from Young Vito. Young Vito saw it as a sign of disrespect and snapped on Slim. They argued for a minute.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityCairo.com. That's AbilityCairo.com.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
And then Slim Dunkin' got in the booth. But while he was rapping, Slim Dunkin' allegedly said something about putting two bullets in a dude with dreadlocks. Young Vito had dreadlocks, and when Slim set the bar, he pointed right at him. That's when Young Vito lost it and attacked Slim. Other people in the studio managed to separate them, but Young Vito pulled out a gun and shot Slim Dunkin' in the stomach at close range. According to a witness, after firing the shot that killed Slim, Young Vito said, "I ain't got time to be playing games," then left the studio. Young Vito's lawyer tried to argue that he only acted in self-defense. Slim Dunkin' was a big dude and about 9 inches taller than Vito. So according to the lawyer, Vito was scared for his life after they started fighting and thought Slim Dunkin' was about to kill him. Young Vito did have a long criminal record though. The murder charge was Vito's 9th arrest and 4th that involved a gun. At the time of the shooting, Vito was out on bond for allegedly threatening his ex-girlfriend and her 16-year-old daughter with a pistol. Even with the history of violence and eyewitnesses who saw it all happen, Young Vito still beat the murder charge. There just wasn't enough evidence to prove that Vito meant to kill Slim Dunkin' when he fired the shot. But Vito didn't get off completely and was still found guilty of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. The judge decided to give him 25 years, the maximum sentence for that crime. The judge also mentioned the incident where Vito allegedly threatened his ex and her daughter. Vito had entered an Alford plea, which means he didn't admit to being guilty, but did admit that the prosecutors might have enough evidence to convict him. So the situation with Slim Dunkin' proved Vito was a danger to the public and deserved to be behind bars for a while. Even though there was some justice, Slim Dunkin's family still wasn't satisfied that he got away with murder. Slim's dad, Mark Hamilton, later filed a lawsuit against Vito and several affiliates, including Gucci Mane and Brick Squad Records. The lawsuit claimed that Gucci and the label were partially responsible for Slim Dunkin's death because they were at the studio that was part owned by Young Vito. Vito was a convicted felon with a known history of violence. Plus, everyone named in the lawsuit knew there was drug use going on in the studio and did nothing to stop it, so they were suing for $11 million. In 2016, Slim's dad Mark ended up winning the lawsuit, but it didn't really matter because Mark claims he never saw any of the money. The Brick Squad Music Group LLC was dissolved in 2011, and the lawyers couldn't get judgments against Gucci Mane or Warner Brothers Records. A few years later, Mark even sued the lawyers who represented him in the case for failing to collect the $11 million. If that wasn't bad enough, Young Vito also caught a lucky break after the judge who sentenced him agreed to let him have a new trial. Since Vito didn't plead guilty to the gun charge, his lawyer argued that he should have been charged with a different crime. The judge agreed that it didn't make sense that Vito wasn't found guilty of the murder, but was charged with the shooting that caused the murder, so he agreed to let Vito have a new trial. During the new trial, Vito took the stand and described in his own words what led up to the murder. According to Vito, he was at the studio that afternoon because he was working. When he got there, he realized no one was working the concession stand and people were just stealing snacks from behind the counter. Vito found out it was Slim Dunkin' and his boys that took some of the candy, so he wanted to confront them about it in the booth. Vito was a part owner of the studio, so he wanted to make sure they paid for what they took. When he pressed him about the candy, Slim Dunkin' pulled out a stack of 20s and threw one in front of Vito. Vito said he would give him change, but Slim said to keep it, so he assumed they were cool. But then one of the producers came out and told Vito that Slim and his crew were rapping about shooting him. Vito went back into the booth to see what was up. As soon as he walked in, Slim swung on him. Slim's crew jumped Vito and pulled him away from Slim until they all ended up in the hallway. That's when Slim's homie started kicking Vito while he was on the ground. Eventually the fight ended and Vito started looking for his keys and phone. Slim was back in the booth arguing with his friends. When Vito looked up, he realized Slim had a gun. So his homie went and brought Vito his bag, which had his own strap in it. Vito started grabbing his stuff, but when he looked up, he saw Slim Dunkin' coming out of the booth and walking toward him. Vito thought Slim was about to kill him, so he panicked and fired off a warning shot. But Slim was only a few feet away and ended up getting hit. That's when Vito ran out of the studio and jumped the fence in the back while Slim was bleeding out. But even though Vito got to give his side of the story, the new trial didn't help that much. The first judge overturned the charge, but then another judge overturned that charge, so Vito stayed locked up. Whatever happened that night, the death of Slim Dunkin' was a major loss for hip-hop. He had a ton of momentum in the industry, and everyone thought he was going to be the next rapper from Atlanta to blow up and go mainstream. But before he got the opportunity, he sadly lost his life over a pointless argument. But even though he's gone, Slim Duncan is not forgotten. Fans have kept his memory alive by sharing his music, and his homie Walker Flocka has continued to honor his legacy. On the 12th anniversary of his death, Walker went to Slim Duncan's gravesite for the first time. Walker poured some liquor on the grave and posted a video on social media. Walker captioned the post, "Candy loving ass boy, long live Duncan, LOL. Took me 12 years to do this, long live Dunk." Even though Slim Duncan was taken too soon, he was still part of a major wave. Slim helped create the style that put Walker Flocka and Brick Squad on the map. So even if he never had a major hit, Slim Duncan will always be a legend in Atlanta for helping create the sound of trap.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.